to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 91 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. The countdown to episode 100 is on, which is very exciting and should be towards the end of the season, unless I get the urge to do a couple extra content shows between now and then. Who knows? And there is a week coming up that I will not be able to do a show, taking the wife on a well-deserved vacation. So not sure if I'll just skip the week or maybe publish a best of, something like that. That's TBD, but very excited that there are 9 races left and just 9 shows from 100 episodes. It's nice when numbers just kind of work out like that. And definitely, though, speaking of extra content shows, definitely need to do another listener call-in show. Maybe do that after the season, and we'll talk about 2018 and what we expect for 2019. All that coming up. Can't wait. It's going to be an exciting end to the season here, which is awesome. Before I get into the show, I have got to vent about the Detroit Lions starting off 0-2, but next weekend, or this weekend actually, this Sunday, my Patriots come to town for Sunday Night Football, which I'm very happy about for a couple of reasons. One, with the way the Lions are playing, it's probably going to be their last primetime game for a while. Two, I'm very excited that the race is Saturday night, which completely frees up Sunday. Go downtown a little early, maybe hang out, and then watch the Lions drop to 0-3 and Tom Brady put on a clinic. Not to mention, odds are the Lions are going to lose this Sunday and start season 0-3. That said, the Lions still have to play Seattle, the Panthers, the Cowboys, Green Bay twice, Minnesota twice, the Bears twice. There is a good chance the Lions go 0-16. The Lions, for those of you that are unaware of how horrible the Lions have been, they don't get to hold very many records. And the Lions don't like to share the ones that they do. So since we are no longer the only 0-16 team, I think the Lions are going for total excellence to become the only team to go 0-16 twice, because we cannot let the Cleveland Browns share in our 0-16. So we got to go and get it one more time, I think. That said, I hope everyone had a great weekend. It was beautiful here in Metro Detroit this weekend. Friday night, kicked back, ordered a pizza, watched the truck race. Saturday, did some running around and some family stuff. Sunday, got caught up on the Xfinity race and settled in for an awesome kickoff to the NASCAR playoffs. Can't wait to get into that. All right, let's get the show rolling. Quick rundown. John Hunter Nemechek will be on here in just a minute. Going to talk trucks, Xfinity Cup at Sin City, Las Vegas. Speaking of all three series running at the track, they only do that. This is how bored I was. I wanted to go and look how many times throughout the season all three series ran the same weekend at the same track. 11 times: Daytona, Atlanta, the Vegas Spring Race, Dover, Chicago, Kentucky, Bristol Summer, Vegas Fall. And we get it 3 more times this year with Texas, ISM, and Homestead, Vegas being the only track that they do it twice at, which is kind of crazy, which is obviously new this year. All right, so we'll get into the races this weekend. Social media shout-outs, the silly season woes continue. Aaron will be on, talk about a little weather this weekend at Richmond. Lucky dogs, lap downs, fantasy to close it out. All right, let's get rolling with John Hunter Nemechek. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making a second appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. You've seen him pilot the number 8 with Nemco Motorsports and the number 42 with Chip Ganassi Racing. Mr. John Hunter Nemechek, welcome back to the show, man. How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
I am awesome. It's always a good night when it's podcast night, so I am having a great night and glad to have you back on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So a couple weeks off with the trucks and a couple before your next Xfinity start. You got anything fun planned over the next couple weeks?
Just be traveling with the Xfinity team, going to the racetrack, trying to learn as much as I can. Other than that, just training, watching video, trying to get ready for these last 5 races to try and go win Championship and Fire Alarm Services and all of our other great partners owner championship for the year.
That's awesome. So speaking of that, so you guys did not run for the actual truck championship as you driving the number eight, but you've run 14 of 18 races with a win, 9 top tens. Knowing that you guys weren't going out there for the actual truck championship, just going out there to win races, was there a different kind of mindset showing up to the track each week with that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, in the truck series, you want to go out and win races. We're a part of the owner's championship right now. So me running the truck this year was just to gain more experience, to turn more laps, to be able to keep myself in a seat when I was not driving the Xfinity car when I was in the seat. So overall, it's been a really good year in the truck series and the Xfinity series. We had a win in the truck series, should have had a few more, but we've had a little streak of bad luck that we need to get rid of. So
yes.
Hopefully we can turn it around and be able to win that owner's championship with our Nimitz Motorsports number 8.
Excellent. So speaking of owner's championship with your dad, what's it like going out there running with your dad on the track? You know, when I was putting the questions together, I was thinking, like, you know, I remember, you know, my dad, you know, whooping me in sports growing up as a kid. And then, you know, that defining moment when you beat your dad in basketball the first time in the backyard kind of thing. So what's the dynamic like racing your dad on the track?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I didn't play many ball sports growing up or anything like that. So my sport was always racing.
Sure.
So it's really cool to be able to race against my dad and be on the racetrack with him. It's like playing baseball on a major scale, I guess, or something in your backyard. It's something that we've always done.
Sure.
But to be able to race against him on the professional level is definitely very interesting.
That's awesome. So let's talk about Vegas this past weekend. You had a really fast truck, finishing second and fourth in the first two stages, caught up in a late race wreck there. Can you talk a little bit about the first half of the day versus the second half of the day there at Vegas?
Yeah, it was an intense race, that's for sure. There was a lot of drafting going on, a lot of pushing, a lot of beating and banging at the end. And we had a really fast truck, ended up finishing second and fourth in the stages. We thought that we had set ourselves up good for stage three. Cars ended up spinning out in front of us, and we spun sideways to avoid them. Had to come down and put an old set of tires on, so we got behind on our tires and ended up having to drive back through the field to salvage a top 10 or a top 5, and we got collected in a late race caution. I think it was the second or third overtime attempt for the weekend.
Yep.
Or for the race. So it was definitely one of those deals where it really stinks to have such a fast truck and to have it tore up at the end, but we're just trying to salvage a finish out of the day. So it hurt us a little bit in the points moving forward for the owner's championship, but we're still in the top 6 to try and move on to the next 3 races.
Awesome. Awesome. When you, after your race on Friday, what did you think of the racing the rest of the weekend, the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series? It definitely looked like three different races at the same track.
Yeah, it was very competitive. There's a lot of guys fighting on Sunday for sure, as far as trying to get the lead, trying to get as many stage points as they could. The round of 16 started for Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. So that was interesting to see almost over half those guys fall out of the race, either a wreck or some kind of mishap. So it'll be interesting moving forward. It's definitely going to be a show to watch these next few weeks, and I'm sure all the way down to Homestead and all three series.
Absolutely. So you had a partial seat in the 42 in the Xfinity Series. What was it like, and what's it been like running your first season part-time Xfinity Series with a team like Chip Ganassi?
It's been good. We've had fast race cars at the racetrack each and every weekend. We probably should have won two or three races by now, and we've had mechanical failures or just mishaps happen, but we win and lose as a team. As Chip likes to say, our motto is one team, one goal, and the goal is to win races and championships. So, but overall, it's been good having Fire Alarm Services on board, Ronco Equipment, Anderson Columbia Company, DAB Constructors, Solar. There's a lot of partners that come together to make it happen for us, and just thankful for the opportunity from Chip and the whole Ganassi organization to be able to go and turn my first lap in an Xfinity car with them. A lot of places or a lot of racetracks that we've gone to this year have been my first time there. Like Indianapolis, it rained a couple weeks ago. We ended up able to win stage one, but my first ever lap on the racetrack in any type of vehicle was the first lap of the race when they threw the green flag. So it's definitely been a quick learning curve. We've run up front. We've shown that we're competitive. Now we just have to finish one off.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. You know, I remember during the broadcast, talk about, you know, some of the Xfinity guys, that being their first lap ever turned because no practice, no qualifying. Was that weighing in your mind, or was it just grip it and rip it when they dropped the green flag?
Luckily, I've been able to be a part of no practice, no qualifying. My first ever mile and a half truck race after I turned 18 was the same way. We actually went the test as well a few weeks prior to the race, and it rained that out too. So luckily, I've been able to be a part of that. As far as just jumping out there, having to adapt quick, and I definitely think that that's one of the benefits about myself from learning from that over the years of just being able to travel around the country, running a different racetrack each and every weekend, and having to adapt right off the truck without testing, without practice, and just be able to go out there and go. So we gave it a run for its money.
Absolutely.
It finished like we needed to, but it was definitely a fun deal.
That's awesome. Can you talk a little bit about 2019 in terms of will you be back in the truck? Are you looking Xfinity? How's 2019 shaping up?
Well, we hope to stay Xfinity racing to continue that experience and to overall try and get to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series one day. That's the overall goal, is to be able to be in a competitive ride with a great team and be able to win races and win championships and kind of make a name for myself. But I'm sure our NEMCO Motorsports team will have the truck program around that has found some way to keep it going over the last few years.
Which is awesome.
So hopefully we have that still going, whether I'm driving or if it's somebody else or dad, who knows. But I'm sure the truck team will still be around. So hopefully we can stay Xfinity racing. I'm sure I will be in a competitive seat, that's for sure.
Excellent. All right, one last thing. Saw on Twitter you and Christopher Bell talking about sprint car, midget car racing. Have you made up your mind, and will we maybe get to see you run one of those?
I would love to. As a driver and just as my own personal self, I'd love to drive anything that has a motor.
Absolutely.
I raced some mini sprints growing up, so... Who knows what we can work in to a deal, but C-Bell's been pushing me for the last couple of years, him and Chase Briscoe, about trying to go and run something. So hopefully that works out, and maybe we'll be in a midget or sprint car one day. That's, go turn some laps.
That's awesome. John, give your sponsors a quick shout-out and tell everyone where they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, thanks to all of our partners this year. I listed them earlier, but huge shout out to all them for making everything possible. Appreciate you for having me, and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat at JH Nemechek. So make sure to tune in. We have some cool content coming for these following races.
Awesome. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to the driver, the number 8 with NEMCO Motorsports, and the 42 with Chip Ganassi Racing. John Hunter, good luck the rest of the season, and get some rest in over the next couple off weeks here.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Very cool being able to talk to John Hunter there. Get a little insight on what it's like racing dad in the truck series and all that good stuff. They've definitely had some fast trucks. And had some fast cars when John Hunter's run the 42 for Chip Ganassi there. So definitely, like he said, probably could have had a couple more wins in both series. I think the wins are definitely coming for Mr. John Hunter Nemechek. All right, what do you say we talk some racing this weekend from Las Vegas? All right, over to the truck series. Noah Gregson picks up the stage one win, and Grant Enfinger wins stage two and takes home the checkered flag. Quick note, Ben Rhodes, who was on the show last week, and coined the Talladega of the West, saying that they said on the broadcast, got some traction with that with the media, which was kind of cool because he said that on the Lab Traffic Podcast. He had to start at the rear, change some equipment, and was down a couple hundred RPMs throughout the race. You could see that, but still was able to salvage a fourth place finish, which was awesome. This thing went three ride right off the bat, and we had an early caution. Thorsten into the wall early, lap two, contact with Myatt Snyder. That brought out the yellow. Crafton, though, man, also had to start at the rear. Told his crew chief he would be up to 10th by lap 10 and was up to 12th by the time that early caution came out. Noah Gregson won stage one by over 4 seconds, so nothing too exciting there once things settled down after that early caution. We saw some interesting tire strategy, though. Some two-tire, four-tire, and no-tire stops there. Crafton led the trucks that took four tires there, which I think really helped him out early on, being able to be the first truck that took four tires and was able to move back up through the field very quickly. Stage two, four wide racing in Las Vegas to start stage two. Couldn't believe it. And speaking of Crafton, this is the strongest I thought Crafton has looked all year, as he was definitely making the charge to the front. Yellow out with 15 to go in stage two for the 17 of Bo Lemastis. Crafton went from last to second in 50 laps, which was just crazy. And, you know, speaking of Crafton, he had a tough break on the pit stop ending stage two. Like, was able to rebound, finish fifth. I got a question for you. Is Matt Crafton the Jimmy Johnson of the truck series this year? Both still winless 2018, which we're all probably a little surprised by, and haven't won since the summer of 2017, last year. Crafton winning at Eldora and Johnson winning at Dover. So I pose that to you. Let me know your thoughts on Twitter at LapTrafficPC. Enfringer wins stage two. And that's when the wall kisses began, everybody. Stage two throughout the rest of the weekend of the truck series, we just saw a ton of guys going into the wall. Let's see. To start stage three, the 4 and the 18 restarted on the front row. Where have we seen these two before on track together? During that restart, Enfinger was able to slide up to P2. John Hunter got up to P2 as Enfinger took the lead over. Tough break with Gilliland, got into it with Little with 52 to go. Surprised when that caution came out that Enfinger only pitted for fuel. Some two tire stops there. Going back green, yellow out with some damage to the race winner of Grant Enfinger as he got in the wall trying to avoid a spinning Stuart Friesen, which also collected the 8 of John Hunter. The 18 had a tire rub with 16 to go. The yellow came out with 14 to go. We go to overtime. Coughlin wrecks on the restart. We go to a second overtime, a third overtime. Man, it was just an exciting, exciting truck race there, which saw our eventual winner of Grant Enfinger taking the checkered flag. Grant's win, the first of his for 2018, second of his career in the truck series, and is now safely on to the next round, which only him and Justin Haley get to go to Talladega with a smile on their face. They could wreck on lap one, and they still move on to their next round with their wins here early on. I don't think anybody was picking these two as the only ones guaranteed into the next round heading into Talladega, but that is the playoffs there, folks. Right now, Rose and Friesen are on the bubble, on the outside looking in, but just 3 points separate those two in seventh and eighth, and are only 7 and 10th points outside of fifth place, which is Matt Crafton there. The bummer is these guys have to wait for 3 weeks before they get to go and sort this thing out at Talladega on Sunday, October 13th. All right, over to the Xfinity Series. It was the Ross Chastain show. What an incredible performance he put on in that 42 car that's been shared. He's driven it. John Hunter Nemechek's had a few rides in there. Kyle Larson, that 42 car has been strong regardless of who's driven it. Ross actually pulled triple duty this weekend, finishing 20th in the Cup, 7th in the truck, and pulls off the win in the Xfinity Series in just his second start in the 42 with Chip Ganassi Racing, leading 180 of 200 laps, just dominated the race. And how about being able to hold off Xfinity Series 2018 leading winners of Justin Allgaier and Christopher Bell, who finished second and fourth. I think what's more impressive with the fact is that he had to redo that over three restarts, which was just crazy. A couple nice runs by Jeremy Clements, picking up top 15. BJ, nice top 20. JJ Yaley picked up an 11th place finish. Some guys up front that we don't talk a lot about too often, with some impressive finishes there to end the regular season there, which is pretty cool. We will kick off round one this Friday night at Richmond. I asked you guys who you thought might be the first four out of the 12 that have made the Xfinity Series playoffs. Mick at GoDucks42 underscore Mick says it's going to be Jones, Truex, Tift, and Reed out. Andrew Cancian just says Cindric times four. I like that. For me, I've got Reed, Cindric, Truex, and Jones. Pretty similar with Mick there, with the exception of Tift. Keep in mind, no drivers that are in cup points are going to be racing anymore in the truck or the Xfinity Series the rest of the season. It is just going to be regulars, which is really pretty cool. And can't forget Dale Earnhardt Jr. making his return to the Xfinity Series. First time he's been in a car in a long time. I know everyone is going to be really excited about that. And I've got more on Dale Earnhardt Jr. a little bit later on. I think you'll get a kick out of it, too. All right, let's get over to the Cup Series. All right, Martin Truex Jr. winning Stage 1 and Brad Keselowski winning Stage 2 and his third in a row, which is just incredible. I'll get to that here in a minute. The start of this race, though, was not indicative of how it ended. We had a clean start, single file by lap three, and after a couple rows, you know, we were too wide a little bit, but it spaced out quick, and within three laps, we were had about a three-second lead from first to fifth, which was pretty respectable of everybody out on the track early on. Brad Keselowski, the first of the playoff drivers to pit with 43 to go during stage one for green flag pit stops, splitting the stage and pulling everybody with him. Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, top two racing for stage one with 25 to go. It only took Martin Truex Jr. five laps to pass the four with 20 to go in stage one. The 42, Kyle Larson had a right front tire go down with 10 to go, and that started the woes of the right front tire with the Cup race on Sunday. But he was able to rebound, contending for the win, led the race later on, but Martin Truex Jr. winning a caution-free stage one. Ricky Stenhouse, after a pit road penalty, brings out the first yellow for an on-track incident, which was followed by another yellow for the 13 with a blown tire. Keselowski winning the battle off pit road there, which was the story of the night. And the story the last few weeks is Brad's pit stops have been on point and on another level compared to the rest of the field, just dominating pit road, which is really what's helped him win all three races that he's won. Pit road has gotten it done for him because he has not had the fastest car. But it's been pitting and the strategy with Paul Wolf and pit road getting it done. That's it's like the defense. It wins games. It wins races. The four Harvick tire going down and gets into the wall and collects the 20 of Eric Jones. Tough break for those two. Kevin Harvick not winning any popularity contest with his comments as of late. But hey, it's racing. It's playoffs. Restart with five to go in stage two. Keselowski able to take jump out front and take the stage two win. During the stage two pit stops, Blaney gambled with two tires on the stage break. They restarted stage three, 100 laps. 100 lap shootout. I guess 100 laps really isn't a shootout, but they restarted with 100 to go. Larson was able to recover from the early tire issue, like I said, and was actually able to lead on the restart. 24 of Byron into the wall with trouble for Jamie McMurray as well with 55 to go. Chase Elliott got into the wall. Kyle Busch had a right front go down as well. I've never seen a car go through the grass like Kyle Busch's did and to be okay. How he didn't do any damage to that thing, the way that thing hit the grass in the infield, I couldn't believe it. He able to salvage a seventh place finish. Crazy he didn't tear that thing up. Restart, 30 to go. Keselowski first off pit road. I told you, 42-78, and Brad Keselowski going three wide on the restart. And, man, were these restarts fun this weekend to watch or what? Three and four wide in the trucks, Xfinity. I don't think we saw – we might have saw some four wide in the cup a little bit. But, man, these restarts were fun to watch. Let's see. After that restart, you can add the 11 to the list of playoff drivers involved in some sort of incident. From the restart with 30 to go through the overtime, no more tires. It's been one of the few times this year where they've run out of tires. We go to a crazy overtime. Keselowski holds off the field to cap off his third in a row. And it's crazy that only – eight playoff drivers restarted that OT, the last overtime on the lead lap. Just nuts. What a race to kick off the playoffs. Speaking of playoff drivers, where'd they finish? Well, we all know where Brad Keselowski finished. He finished first. Larson finished second. Martin Truex Jr. finished third. Joey Logano fourth. Blaney fifth. Almirola sixth. Kyle Busch seventh. So one through seven, all playoff drivers. Austin Dillon finished 11th. Bowman 19th, Kurt Busch 21st, Johnson 22nd, Bowyer 23rd, Hamlin 32nd, Chase 26th, Harvick 39th, and Eric Jones 40th. Nine of them outside of the top 10. That is crazy. And still winless in 2018, Blaney, Larson, Hamlin, Almirola, Johnson, and Bowman. Just crazy. Only Brad Keselowski has stamped his ticket on to the next round. Keselowski picking up his third win in a row, number 27 of his career. First time in his career that he's won three in a row, by the way. Didn't know that until I did a little digging around. And like I said, he's the only player, or only driver who is a lock, and doesn't matter how he finishes this weekend at Richmond or at the Roval. While I'm sure he wants to go and add to it, he's good to go. And Keselowski picking up the 500th win for Penske. That's awesome. Glad that was able to be done in NASCAR. Jimmy Johnson was putting a good one together out there. One of his better races of the season, but gets involved in a late race wreck as well. And now sits first outside the cut line. 14 points separate Johnson in 13th with Hamlin in 16th with Chase Elliott and Eric Jones in the middle there. Playoff points, man. They are key, and it is the Las Vegas proves that they were key. If you look at Harvick, who finished 39th, he only dropped to fourth in the standings. And Jones, who finished one spot worse than him, 40th, is in 15th on the outside trying to look in. Speaking of Vegas and playoff, did we get what we wanted with the move to Vegas? You know, used to have a less than stellar race to open at Chicago. Chicago moved to July and gave us a very entertaining race. And now the second race for Las Vegas to open the playoffs. Well, all I can say, it wasn't boring. What'd you guys think of Las Vegas opening the playoffs? It's definitely hot out there, that's for sure. And I also got to pose this question to everybody. Is it the big three with Brad K, now the third? Is it the four kings of Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr.? Or is it just the Brad Keselowski show? Because realistically, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr. have been very quiet the last few races and non-factors. Brad Keselowski, maybe the Tony Stewart of old, heating up here as things roll on into the late summer and winding out the 2018 season. Little side note that I noticed, three drivers have won three races in a row in 2018. Kevin Harvick and Keselowski, both doing it for the first time in their career in 2018. Harvick doing it early in the season at Atlanta, Vegas, and ISM. Keselowski, our last three races at Darlington, Indy, and Vegas. And Kyle Busch has done it twice in his career. He did it once in 2015 and again in 2018 at Texas, Bristol, and Richmond. And speaking of Richmond, we're going night racing this Saturday night at Richmond. Race number two of round one before we get to the Roval, which we have no idea what we're going to get when we go there. So everybody, I expect Richmond to be an exciting race. They're going to want to go out there and get that win so that they don't have to worry about the Roval. All right, let's do a little social media here. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you subscribe, download, whatever you got to do on TuneIn Radio, Blueberry, Acast, Spreaker, Player FM, Listen Notes, and of course, Podbean and iTunes. Don't forget about the giveaway. 3,500 followers giving away a 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress, and also giving a Lap Traffic t-shirt. Keep creeping up slowly but surely there. Speaking of followers, some new follower shout outs over to Ian at IJ Dicer from Wakefield, loves racing and Formula One. George at GWillie04 from Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and is a Kevin Harvick fan. My uncle actually lived in Eden Prairie for about 10 years back in the 90s there, sir. Mark at MKSeymour91 from Massachusetts and is a big Jimmy Johnson fan. Tiffany at IVMonkey88, big fan of Junior Nation. Devin at Devin_King_professor, fellow professor, and a NASCAR fanatic from Minnesota. Welcome aboard, Rowdy Ryder at NoWin2613, where the racetrack is his happy place. Philip at Yep_It'sPhilip, NASCAR addict from Lenoir, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, guys. Tell your friends. Don't forget, if you want some stickers and a koozie, get over to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, fill out the contact page, and I'll just send you one because I'm a nice guy. If you've been to a race or you've got a koozie, make sure you tweet pictures. I'll put that up on the website. And I forgot, I got to tweet out a picture of this. I'll probably do that tomorrow. But big shout outs to Jumpy Bob on Twitter, who sent me a little care package that had some 164s and a shot glass, which I have a huge shot glass collection. Literally, I've got shelves on the wall in the man cave that has a ton of shot glasses on them. So that's awesome. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate that. If you want to send a little fan mail, Lap Traffic Podcast, P.O. Box 725275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072. So awesome. Really appreciate that, man. Can't thank you enough. All right. The silly season continues. There has been a lot of talk surrounding the number 41 with Stewart Haas Racing. They still don't have a driver in place, but Gene Haas said it will not be Cole Custer, so we can put that one to bed finally. Newman announced out at RCR. His contract was released last month, and he will be looking for a ride, which means RCR will be looking for a ride. Talks potentially of Kenseth returning part-time with RFR. Be curious to see that. And then, of course, the ongoing debate on if Martin Truex Jr. will be moving to the 19 and where will the 19 be going, with thoughts possibly the 95. So that's the new silly season, and I will keep up to date with that. All right, let's get a little weather segment going here with Mr. Aaron Studwell. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back again. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather and check out the website raceweather.net. The wonderful Aaron Studwell. Sir, good afternoon, early evening to you.
Good day, sir. I'll just stick with the more generic. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. Having a good show so far and ready to keep it rolling here with the ever-popular weather segment.
I'm excited to listen to it. I was updating race weather. No, I'm sorry. No, not me.
Yes.
I mean, John Hunter. I mean, John Hunter News. Yes. I can listen to. I listen to myself all day.
Right.
I'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, I was updating the website last night and putting on there who the special guest was. I'm like, oh, cool, John Hunter Nemechek. And what I don't think I mentioned on air last week was we had somebody here from our corporate office, and he was saying all these wonderful things about my people. That's great. He looks at me, you talk a lot.
Nonsense.
Nice.
Oh, that's funny. So before we get into some NASCAR weather, tough weekend for the Big Ten. Sixth-ranked Wisconsin losing to BYU. Rutgers drop one to Kansas. Temple over Maryland. Nebraska drops one to Troy. Illinois, Purdue, Northwestern all losing as well. 13 Big Ten games this weekend. Conference play went 7-6. Rough weekend for the Big Ten.
But I look at those games individually. Okay, the one that surprised me the most had to be Brigham Young.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rolling into Madison.
Yep.
That surprised me.
Yep.
Troy beating Nebraska without their starting quarterback. Not a surprise. Rutgers on the road losing. Okay, yes, to Kansas. But these are you look at the top, bottom 10 rankings, I would say Rutgers has to be in there too.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
And, Missouri beating Purdue. Maryland losing was a bit of a surprise to Temple. But individually, when I saw like the Troy-Nebraska highlights, I'm like, Troy just kind of out-athleted them out. And it was just seems faster.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I saw just some highlights on ESPN later in the day. And yeah, when I saw the play of, like you said, I wasn't surprised. And hopefully Michigan is able to open up conference play strong next week against Nebraska.
Yeah, I am looking forward to that. That'll be a good matchup. And I think Patterson will keep the air Harbaugh going.
Well, it was a rough go this week with SMU. Like they got off to a very slow and sluggish start, but fortunately second half, yep, and fourth quarter they kicked it up a little bit.
Yeah, and then I was at the Texas A&M Louisiana Monroe game.
Nice.
And yeah, I got 14 seats in the end zone. I call it my all 22 view.
Nice.
And just watch everything develop from that end.
That's awesome. The all 22 view. That's a good one. I like that there. Well, speaking of football.
But yeah, it was a good time. First time I've ever seen a blocked field goal that never hit the ground, get caught in midair and return for a touchdown.
That is a pretty cool sight. That's cool. What are we looking like weather-wise for the Michigan-Nebraska game here this Saturday?
Quite fall-like. You are going to have a cold front move through.
All right.
You're looking at a high on Saturday in the upper 60s, sunny skies.
All right.
Windy early by midday. That should taper off a little bit. That'll be from the northwest. So coming over to the student section.
Okay.
And it's going to be a great day for football. It'll be very fall-like.
Excellent.
For, you know, you're kind of saying late September.
Yeah.
It's pretty close to normal highs. Normal high is 70.
Okay.
And 68 for the, right around there for the high. But it's going to be a great day.
Excellent. Excellent. Looking forward to it. All right. Let's talk a little weather, NASCAR related. It was hot this past weekend in Vegas, and you called it too. You said it was going to be windy, and it was windy.
Yes. I actually just pulled up the observations before we got on the call. The airport or the Air Force Base right next to the Speedway, it was at 3 o'clock local, so about 45 minutes into the race, it was 101 degrees.
Nice.
Although, with the humidity, it made it feel like 97.
Oh, well. Ooh.
The humidity was 14% humidity.
Nice.
Winds were from the southwest, 22 gusting to 26.
Yeah, it looked hot, but it's a dry heat, though, you know.
It was a very dry heat, but I think everybody decided to, and I don't usually bash NASCAR in attendance, and I don't blame people for this. That was not a well-attended race, and if you want to say, you want to take a claim to say, hey, we want two races, hey, we want to be the first race of the playoffs,
yeah,
you better make sure people show up.
Yeah, I think that was the only downfall, but hopefully the fact people saw a decent race and an exciting race at the end, maybe that'll draw going into next year, hopefully. So
I hope so. That was crazy racing.
It was very crazy racing. What are we looking like this weekend at Richmond, sir?
Beautiful for on Friday. Sunny skies, high of 87, ridge of high pressure extending across the region. Now, that same cold front that's going to bring you your lovely weather,
yes,
and that great day in Ann Arbor will bring a chance of showers and thunderstorms to Richmond on Saturday.
Okay.
Right now we have them in the scattered category. Right now it's more in the afternoon, kind of tapering off. That being said, we're going to need to watch the radar. It's kind of early. Things can change, but this has been pretty consistent with the timing, and it doesn't help this front may stall. So if it stalls just north of the area and winds up being this little convergence point, this little axis of rain and showers, it's not going to be great. It's not a washout. I'm not calling it off yet. I think they can dodge between the raindrops. I think we just have a pretty decent chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms Saturday afternoon into Saturday night.
All righty. Well, we will definitely keep our fingers crossed and definitely looking forward to a beautiful day here in Metro Detroit on Saturday, it sounds like. Very exciting. Everyone, go ahead.
I was going to say, you get a good day of sports. You get Michigan football, then you get racing that night.
Absolutely.
And it frees up your Sunday.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because Patriots coming to play on Sunday night, which I will be there. So I am very excited that the race is Saturday night. So
perfect.
Yes. All right, everyone. Make sure you're following Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather and checking him out online at RaceWeather.net. Sir, pleasure as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Great talking to you. Have a good week.
Thanks, man. You too. Always awesome to talk to Aaron each and every week. Appreciate his very in-depth and thorough weather report. And Aaron, I don't think you talk that much. It's all good over here. All right, let's get over to the Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks this week. Don't forget to tweet your picks after the race each week or call the Wave Around hotline at 248-965-9538, and I will play back your picks on the show. All right, my Lucky Dog of the race weekend, it's got to be for the second week in a row. Brad Keselowski and the number two team for their third win in a row. My lap down, playoff drivers outside the top 10. Come on. You all know what time it is. It's the
playoffs.
That's right. It is the playoffs, and you can't finish outside the top 10 or you're out. But, all right, let's get over to your lucky dog and lap down picks on Twitter. John Denader, his lucky dog, the Haves. Those playoff contenders that came out unscathed at Vegas. His lap down, the have-nots. Playoff contenders that had horrendous days. Hashtag simple as it gets. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick's lucky dog Larson. Blew a tire, didn't hit the wall, salvaged a second place finish. I'm with you right there, Mick. Lap down. Nothing crazy. Wow, I'm with you. Linda at RacingGal_FL's lucky dog, Team Penske, with their 500th win. A lap down to the tires for so many issues. Brandon at Brandon K. Carl's lucky dog goes to Ross Chastain and Keselowski. They both drove the wheels off it this weekend and both got very big wins. A lap down goes to the Roush Xfinity 60 car. That car has been snake bitten this season, no matter who's driving it. Can't agree with you more there, sir. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog, Kyle Busch. Luck on damage sliding through the grass. Absolutely. Lap down most of the championship 16. I'm with you there, too. Eddie at 3Wide_FastEddie's lucky dog, Grant Enfinger. Right place, right time, making things happen. And now on to the round of six. It was unexpected for him. Lap down, Denny Hamlin. He needs to find Brad, grab that horseshoe that Brad Keselowski's got right now, and make something big happen at Richmond. Brad at BradYunker30. He is giving himself the lucky dog and lap down this weekend. And I asked why. Almost, I was a little nervous, I got to ask why. He goes, he's given himself the lap down because he was golfing instead of watching the race. And his lucky dog, because he was golfing instead of watching the race. I have not gotten out on the golf course nearly enough. Apparently, you and I need to go play around, Brad, so maybe we should make that happen here. Get a little fall golf in. Always a good time. And we'll see what... What maybe happens there on the golf course. Maybe Chloe could do a vlog of you and I playing around a golf. How fun would that be? Boom. See, things just come to me like that. And to close it out, PETM Podcast at the PETM Podcast, who's got their show going on tonight. So after you get done listening to Laugh Traffic, if you're not tuning in live to the PETM Podcast, make sure you get over, check those guys out. Their lucky dog, Bowman the Showman. Couple more solid races, and he'll make the round of 12. Lap down. He's giving it to my boy, Mr. Kevin Harvick, and also Canteen Sucks. Peace. Love it. Awesome. Thank you to everyone that tweeted your picks. And speaking of Mr. Andrew Canteen, he is the lone man on the Wave Around hotline this week.
Hey, Brandon, it's Andrew. What's up, man? What a wild, wild weekend in Vegas. All three races were crazy. They definitely got what they wanted in terms of entertainment because all three races were pretty awesome. I don't even know where to start, to be honest with you. One thing I'm really honestly disappointed about this weekend is that freaking opening curvature wall on the backstretch. I mean, we saw two really bad accidents there this weekend, and there's no other way. Someone way smarter than me can't figure out a way to fix that, because there were some wicked, wicked accidents. So maybe we got to look into fixing that. That's got to be a lap down. The lucky dog goes, just the amount of drama from both all three series, and hopefully see even more drama next week at Richmond to the Roval, which is going to be a shit show. So we'll see how that goes out. So take care, bud. Have a good week.
Andrew, thank you, as always, for calling in to the show. I don't know. To me, sounds like you might have been a little hungover during that call. Not sure. Not your exuberant self there, sir. But you're right, man. The wall, man. That it needs to be nicknamed that, perhaps. Because there are a lot of guys that went and tried to kiss the wall. And they did. And the wall won each and every time, as it will tend to do that. Thanks for calling in, everyone. Make sure you tweet your picks. Call the Wave Around Hotline. It's always a good time. All right. I think it's time to get over to a little bit of fantasy. All right, just a reminder, get your fantasy picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Keep the Twitter interaction going. It's awesome. Let's see. This past weekend, I actually rebounded a little bit, hit it for a couple bucks on DraftKings, which was awesome. We're in segment three, last segment of the season. 9 races to go, following suit with the playoffs. Not a lot of race winners picked this weekend to open segment three. Only Paul Hollenbeck picked Grant Enfinger, and only Mr. Andrew Kantzian and Robert Kepflinger picked Ross Chastain. And after going 2 weeks in a row with no one picking Keselowski, only JT Monahan thought Keselowski would pull off the turkey, and is the only person the last 3 weeks to pick him. So nice job there. Rob Kepflinger scored week high with 138 with his picks of Kyle Busch, Ross Chastain, and Johnny Sauter. Paul Hollenbeck, second week high this week with 135 with his picks of Larson, Allgaier, and Enfinger. And we have a new leader. After dominating 13 weeks in segment two, Chad Robb is no longer in first. That esteemed honor is now currently held by Robert Kepflinger with 138 points. In second, Paul Hollenbeck, 135. In third, Jamie Rowden with 128. Kayla Jordan also in third with 128. In fourth with 127 is Timothy Triplett. In fifth with 124 is Tommy Witt. In sixth with 123rd, Ryan Kiefer. In seventh with 119, John Elliott. Eighth with 117 is Lisa Chinana. In ninth with 116 is Mr. Andrew Kantzian. And in 10th with 112 is JT Monahan. It is close, and I hope it stays close. I want this thing to be a battle to the end. Over to the cumulative, Tommy Witt is in first with 29.27. Chloe Unker holding on to second with 28.42. John Entwistle in third with 28.27. Chad Robb in fourth with 27.83. And David James wraps out the top five cumulative with 27.53. My picks for Vegas started out pretty good. Ben Rhodes finished fourth. Christopher Bell finished fourth. And then Mr. Kevin Harvick goes and finishes 39th there. So I am not off to a good start. But, hey, to be honest, I haven't had a good start in any segment. So, yeah, there's that. But if there's any solace at all, it is that the MOATF podcast is in last place of those who have submitted picks. And they actually called me out in advance for knowing I was going to give them shit over that, too, which is just hysterical. And also, if you missed their show, which go check that out, that dropped Monday, they did their picks for the Lab Traffic Fantasy and had said they were going to take Dale Jr., but then thought they didn't know if they could take Dale Jr. So I am here to clarify that Dale Jr. is eligible to be picked for the Xfinity race. Not sure that that would be the best pick if terms of trying to get points just because of the how long it's been since Junior's strapped in. But if you want to take Dale Jr. in the Xfinity race, by all means, he is eligible. All right. What do you say we get to the picks? This week, we go short track racing Saturday night in Richmond. Kyle Busch won the spring race back in April. Chase Elliott finished a close second. Kyle Larson won this race last year, and it's Larson's last victory. Can he end his winless streak? The last four races at Richmond, check this out, Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano each have four top tens and a win each. I wouldn't be surprised if either of those two gets to victory lane this weekend. Of the big four top dogs, Martin Truex Jr. is winless, and this is not his best track if you look at his overall average finish. Kyle Busch is the most recent winner of the top four, winning the spring race, and he's got the most wins of the top four with 5 wins at Richmond. Kevin Harvick's got 3 wins at Richmond, his last coming a few years ago in the spring of 2013. And Brad Keselowski's got 1 win at Richmond, but is coming off 3 wins in a row for the first time in his career. Does he keep it going and make it 4 in a row? We will find out Saturday night. But right now, it's time for My Picks. There is a no truck race this weekend. There's not one for a few weeks. So over to the Xfinity Series. Cole Custer looked really strong this weekend. I look for Cole to open up strong in the playoffs. He has to. He doesn't have that many playoff points. So if he wants to contend with Allgaier and Bell, Cole Custer needs to start strong. Over to the Cup Series. I bet you guys thought I was going to take Kevin Harvick the last 10 races, but I'm not jinxing him the rest of the season. So sorry, Chloe Yunker. Joey Logano, it is for Richmond for me. Those are my picks. Can't wait to see who you guys take this weekend. All right, that is going to do it for episode 91 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, give a rating, tell your friends. Do what you got to do. Don't forget about the contest at 3,500 Twitter followers, giving away that 124 RCR diecast. Big thanks to John Hunter Nemechek for Nemco Motorsports for coming on the show today. And next week, making their triumphant return from across the pond, David and Andrew from the MOATF podcast. Can't wait for that one. It's going to be fun. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm out of here. See ya.